Well, thank you, Glenn, and a very big thank you to Glenn, who's worked incredibly hard to look after us over these last couple of days and make sure we're in the right time, at the right place, and so forth. Shall we pray together? No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Our gracious Father in heaven, we praise you that you have declared yourself, that we no longer need to stumble around in the dark, that we can know you, and that in your grace and mercy you want to be known. And we pray that in your kindness you would speak to us this evening, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my aim is that we leave here this afternoon, this evening, with confident assurance as to whether we are in the family of God or not. All of us know what it is, at least to want to belong. I have the privilege of coming from a family where I've always known what it is to be loved. And even up until this last 12 months ago when my father died, my father was in his 90s, my mother in her 80s, and as I would go back to my parental home, I knew what it was to be loved. It's a wonderful, wonderful privilege. And my aim this evening is for all of us to be confident, to have confident assurance that if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in the family of God. My experience is that many, many people who use the name Christian lack such assurance, and it is tremendously debilitating to their Christian life. They're not quite sure whether they're in or out, whether they belong or not, whether they should live as a child of God, or whether they're still to become a child of God. So it's an immensely important issue that we're considering. And I want us to look, if we may, at just two verses in that reading. So please make sure you've got the reading open in front of you on page 965 in those black Bibles. To all who did receive him, that's Jesus, to those who believed in Jesus' name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. I have just three very simple points, each taken from these verses. The first, I can be sure because of the certain promise of his word. Look at verse 12 again, if you would. To all who received him, that's Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, you can see immediately here that the Christian faith and what we're talking about at Christmas is not the promise of health or wealth or improved social life or guaranteed business success. Jesus is not some sort of glorified life coach. Rather, what is being promised is certain and assured and unquestionable membership of God's family, such that I can live as a child of God with assurance and certainty. Such that if somebody asks us if we're part of the family of God, we can say, well, yes, I belong. I'm in. I'm one of his. And we can get on with real confidence living for him as authentic Christians. Such that if, and I really hope this doesn't happen to you, but were you to head out of the building this evening onto Ann Street, and the number 401 heading to St. Lucia happened to be passing, and you didn't notice, and you were hit, and you found yourself, no longer alive, then you would know with absolute certainty where you were going. Real assurance. The certain promise of his word. And again, my experience in England, I don't know if this is so here in Australia, but my experience is that many, even those who call themselves Christian, lack such assurance. Some are diffident, Some lack confidence, some are unsure. Some think, well, it might be rather cocky or arrogant even. Presumptuous, they might say, to say, well, yes, I definitely belong. Well, look again at the verse, the recipients. To all who did receive him. Look at the verb in the past tense. He gave the right. It's a past tense of completed action. Look at that word, the right, which is actually taken from the military world of absolute authority. To all who did receive Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. The gift is of certain family membership. And may I say, for the vast majority of us, we are confident of where we belong if we come from a particular family. So much so that when they ask us in the questions for our internet banking security or whatever it happens to be, I'm happy to say I am William Taylor. My mother's maiden name was Tranter. I was born in Loughborough. Actually, none of those things are true because I don't trust you an inch. And I wouldn't give you my mother's maiden name in case you hack into my account even as I speak. But we don't have a moment's hesitation, do we, of where we come from, where we belong, who are, and so forth, for the vast majority. This, then, is a promise, not a promise of such security when it comes to God's family. Should anybody doubt my family membership, no need to doubt. I haven't brought my birth certificate with me to Australia, but if I was back home, I might even take my birth certificate and hold it up to you and say, well, yes, born in such and such a place, which I'm not going to tell you. My father's middle name, Edward Brewster Taylor. I think his parents were hoping he would inherit from some wealthy uncle or other named Brewster, which he didn't. Born on such and such a date, which is, again, none of your business and a lot later than you might imagine. Well, this is, if you like, a birth certificate verse, isn't it? To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right. This is a promise from God. It can't be presumptuous to believe it. It's God's promise. Indeed, quite the reverse. Not to believe it would be rather presumptuous. And to feel, oh, diffident, unsure, uncertain. And indeed, may I suggest, to walk through life unable to answer the question about who I really belong to, where I'm really going, where I actually come from. Lacking clarity is to be fundamentally insecure, to lack purpose, and to be lost. It's a big issue, isn't it? You may remember the film Forrest Gump. I think it's such a kind of cult film that even my 19-year-old and 21-year-old, they know the film Forrest Gump and Tom Hanks, one of his early films. And there's a scene at the end of the film where Hanks watches, playing Forrest Gump, watches a feather floating down on the wind like this, and he looks at it. It's a piece of classic Hollywood quiche. You understand that word anyway? It's Hollywood kind of stuff. And he says, well, I'm not sure who's right, Mom or Lieutenant Dan, whether we're just floating like a feather on a breeze or whether we have a destiny. I'm sorry about the American accent, but it's a key question. Do I have a destiny? Am I going somewhere? Do I belong? Where do I come from? What family am I in? And chapter 1, verse 12, to all who did receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he, Jesus, gave, past tense, the right, absolute authority to call yourself a child of God. Pity the impoverished individual who cannot answer the greatest question of life without a degree of confidence. Well, how can it be that a Christian can make such a claim? One, the certain promise of God's word. Two, the absolute sufficiency of his work. And I want us to look very carefully again at this verse and notice that the assurance promised here in his word has its roots, now this is very important if you're going to have such assurance, has its roots not in me and my work, but in him and his. so that I can say with confidence and assurance, not because of something that I've done, and the author stresses this so clearly, both positively and negatively, and we're going to have a look at both of those in the absolute sufficiency of his work, thus I can have confidence and certainty. For so long as I think my assurance rests on me and what I may or may not have done, things that I have achieved, decisions that I have taken, and so forth, so long will I be uncertain. Have I done enough? Do you have pay-as-you-go out here in Australia? I don't know. We have something called the Oyster card. I think you have an equivalent. You flash it. Actually, some very generous person lent us theirs this weekend, and we've been racking up a huge bill on their Oyster card as we've gone on City, what's it, and across the river and back across the river and all the rest. It pays. You have to keep on topping it up. And if you think it belongs but depends upon you, this is man-made religion, you have top up, have I done enough, have I done enough, have I done enough? Well, let's have a look at the positive of the verse. To all who received and who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born, not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The image here is of birth. And the point is that God promises to do a work that will cause us to be born into his family such that we can call ourselves his children because he's done something. This, for those of you who've been Christians for any length of time, just so that we're clear, this is what is known as the teaching of regeneration or of new birth or that leads on to adoption. Through the work of the Lord Jesus, God promises that we can be born spiritually into his family. Now, one of the things I'd love you to do, if you've not done this, in fact, all of us, it would be good for us, is to read John's Gospel on the lead into Christmas. If you've never done it, get hold of a John's Gospel, by hook or crook. Just get hold of a John's Gospel. There may even be one available this evening. Take it away with you and read it. As you go into John's Gospel, you will see this image of birth being developed. Just turn over, if you would, one page to chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. We'll look at verse 1. There was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. So here is a very high up religious figure, possibly the most religious figure you could find in the whole of Jerusalem. He came to Jesus at night. Well, that is often the way, isn't it, with a professor or somebody like this. They're not sure they want to admit that they're not quite sure what's going on. So he comes at night to avoid too much of a stir. And he said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God. No one could perform the signs that you're doing if God were not with him. Now, isn't it interesting that the people of God's own day recognize the miracles of Jesus' own day, recognize the miracles that Jesus did as such. There's no doubt about it. And now what does Jesus say to this most high-up religious official, the most religious so-called spiritual person you could find in Jerusalem? He says, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Verse 4, how can somebody be born when they're old? Nicodemus can't quite make this out. It doesn't bear thinking about. Let's not go there this evening, shall we? It would be too grim a thought. And so Nicodemus said, surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus then says, truly, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter God's kingdom unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Now, the water there, it's actually a reference to something in the Old Testament, speaking of being washed clean. So the language is of being washed clean of all that makes me spiritually impure and unacceptable to God. Being born of water and then having been washed clean by God, having God himself through his Holy Spirit enter into me. That's the image of new birth. Now, we haven't got time to go right the way through the gospel. If you do read the gospel right the way through, which I hope you will, you'll find that Jesus goes to the cross, the end of the gospel. That's where he's headed to. And at the cross, he dies on the cross to carry God's judgment at everything you and I have done in rebellion against God in order to wash us. And may I say, and I'm not going to tell you, it's none of your business, there's going to be no lurid expose this evening. There is many, many a thing that I have done, a whole life lived out, holding God at arm's length, which offends him. And if I'm going to be acceptable to God and to have him come and live within me, I need to be washed clean. He could never dwell in his holiness within William Taylor and have me as part of his family. I'm just not worthy. But here is a glorious picture that Jesus has stepped into the world right up at front in John's Gospel so that a person can be born into the family of God through being washed clean and then cleansed, having God himself come and dwell within us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And isn't the picture of new birth such a brilliant picture? Because, you know, birth, new birth, stresses the fact that there's nothing I can do to achieve it. You know, who here, hands up, if you played any meaningful part in your own birth? Nobody. I actually have a friend back in South London who claims he can remember being born. I know. I think the same. I don't actually believe him. Anyway, we won't go into it. But I've often said to him, was there any point in the whole process, as you cast back in your memory, when you said to yourself, I think I'll give the old girl a hand? And the answer is, of course not. Of course not. Because it's something that's brought about by somebody else. With immense effort, it seems to me, though I'm never quite sure about these things. You played no part in your own birth, meaningfully, other than being an observer, if you like. And you certainly played no part in your conception. Don't think about that for too long. Here, then, is a work done by God, done entirely by God, in the heart and life of any man or woman who trusts in Jesus Christ. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of, but born of God. It's God's work. There's the positive. Now, here's the negative. Did you notice them? Turn back to the verse. Look at it very closely. You knew we could have a whole series of three talks on these two verses, couldn't we? Have a look at the negatives. We'll have to go quickly. Born not of natural descent. One version says not of blood. And I think this means not because of my genes, not because of my DNA, not because I was born into the right family. I was once speaking on this verse and somebody came up to me afterwards and he said, let me show you a copy of my family Bible. He was an Indian lad and he could trace his family tree back to one of the earliest apostles who came into India back in the first century. And I think in his head he had it that because he was born along this family tree, he was automatically a child of God. Well, this verse, I think he probably hadn't, you know, it sometimes happened to you as a preacher. You're preaching away, you're explaining something, somebody comes up and says exactly the opposite of what you've just been saying. Because this verse says exactly the opposite, doesn't it? Not of blood, not of your DNA, not of your genes, not because you're English. You know, I think a lot of us English people think, well, because I'm English, I must be in the family of God. No, certainly not if you're Australian. Sorry, that was a joke. That was a joke. I didn't mean that. There we go. Now, look at the second negative. Not of human decision. Not of natural descent, nor of human decision. One of the versions has not of the will of the flesh, and that is, it's not earned by my effort. You can't make yourself a child of God. It is not through my decent deeds, not because I wrote checks out to charity, not because I've lived a decent life. Do you know, I work in the City of London, and there are any number of senior businessmen who are used to earning everything and being rewarded. You know, the city bonus system is the equivalent of the sticker for good behavior that you get when you're a five-year-old at school. It's just worth a couple of million more. Okay, but that's all it is. It's kind of what you got when you're a school kid. You get a sticker stuck on, good behavior, well done. And now, when you're a bit more grown up, you get your good behavior award. Yeah, it's just a check. Saying it's a deal. And a lot of these senior city businessmen, they'll come to you and they seem to think that they've got a kind of good conduct certificate. You know, I've run my business in a decent way and I've treated the employees well. And look, I've even got a certificate telling everybody what a good person I am, and it's signed by my mother. Well, it isn't, but you know what I mean. Not because of my good deeds. Because I've given to charity. Because I've done penance. Because I've said my confession. And then the third negative, nor a husband's will, nor of the will of man. And I take it this means that it's not passed on by my parents, not because I was baptized as a child. You often come across somebody, oh, well, you know, do you call yourself a Christian? Oh, yeah, well, I was baptized as a child. I was confirmed or something like that. No, entirely of God. In fact, were my confident assurance based on my efforts, it would undermine my assurance completely. This pay-as-you-go, air miles to heaven, top-up sort of religion is man-made religion. It's completely different to what we have here. As Jesus says, the price is paid already. The work is done and finished. You can be washed clean as you receive Jesus on the basis of his sufficient work. The certain promise of his word, the absolute sufficiency of his work. And now this last one requires a certain amount of careful thinking about. So if you've wandered off to begin to think about supper in your mind, come back if you would, to the end of verse 13 in chapter 1 and the beginning of verse 13. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. It's very interesting that this verse both tells me that I have to receive Jesus and tells me that if I receive Jesus, it's all his work. Isn't that, I mean, we could spend many hours talking about this, but isn't it fascinating? To all who received him, that's my will, but you've been born of God. So not only the certain promise of his word, not only the absolute sufficiency of his work, but I put it like this, the God-given response of my will. My will is vital. I must receive him. But if I find myself on an evening like this evening, or later on tonight, or back on December the 18th, 1979, 37 years ago nearly, as I did, kneeling by my bed and saying, Lord Jesus, please come into my life as my Savior, wash me clean, enter in. Well, is it something I did? Well, yes and no. He's brought it about. The God-given response of my will. And notice, to all who received, to those who believed. Belief is simply trust, it's faith. Somebody has described this as faith, as the channel through which God's free gift flows. I believe, and as I trust, his gift, washing, new birth, flows to me. Somebody else has described it as the small bird. I don't know if you're able to see in birds' nests in Australia, but the small bird waiting to receive from its parent with its mouth open. Another person, active acceptance, active acceptance. I have here a check. Actually, it's just a piece of paper I wrote out before, so it doesn't really stand for much. And it says, I promise to pay the bearer the sum of £1 million, which is not worth an awful lot, actually, after Brexit. But there we are. It's the 27th of November, 2016, signed by William Taylor, £1 million. Here you are, Glenn. Now, you see, he has to actually receive it. He has to reach out and take it. I'm not going to make sure, I'm absolutely certain that doesn't go anywhere. But he has actually to reach out and take it. And as he reaches out and takes it, as he receives it, the sufficiency of God's work, the promise of God's word, and then the God-given response of his will, he can say with real confidence and assurance. Can you say that? I'm in. I belong. I'm a child of God. Have you received Jesus Christ? Notice, if you find yourself saying, yes, well, actually, over the next few days, do you know, I don't think I've ever actually received Jesus as my own personal Lord. I don't think I've ever actually received the gift of washing and cleansing personally. The God-given response. Then God's at work within you to enable you to do it. Praise God. Now, there'll be all sorts of people here this evening. Some of us would have done that many, many, many years ago, and we think, how wonderful, what an extraordinary, wonderful thing that at the heart of this Christmas message is God's love, that he wants us to be part of his family. What a glorious thing that is. That if I died tonight, I know that I would, like the small child, you know, coming home at the end of a school day, I'm home. What a wonderful thing. No questions, you're in. So some of us, may say, well, look, this is something I think I did a number of years ago. It's kind of there vaguely in pencil, but I've always lacked assurance. I've wondered whether I really am. And wouldn't tonight be a great night to go over it, if you like, in ink? I know you don't write like that, really, but you know what I mean? To go over it in ink and say, yes, I really have received you, Lord Jesus. I do trust you. And then John chapter 1, verse 12. You can be sure. And no more messing about, playing around on the edges. You're in. Live as a child. And then there'll be others who think, well, this is all very new, and I really need to go away and think about it. Please do that. Because to wander through life not knowing where I come from and where I'm going and which family I'm in, well, that really is a very miserable existence, I would suggest. Well, allow me to lead us in prayer and to give thanks for this reality. And you might like to echo this prayer in your own heart this evening, or perhaps pray a prayer like it at some later stage, just to go over in ink, if you like. To all who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for this certain promise of your word. We thank you for the sufficient work of Jesus on the cross, that there he carried in his body at the cross your judgment at our sin. Thank you that he died there so that we can be forgiven, washed clean, and your Holy Spirit can enter into our life. And so we say, please enable me to receive him, to believe him, and so to know for sure that I belong as a child of your family. In Jesus' name, amen.